Hey Pinkies, it's the Fey Driver here. So this episode is a little bit long, so I've actually cut it into two pieces. So it's going to end a little bit abruptly here. Sounds like the phone's ringing. Hello, Pink Whale Nuts Garage. So you can look for the rest of this episode, the second half of it, which I will post next week, next Friday. Thanks for listening.
Hello, Pinkies. This is the co-host, Emeritus, the Laughing Buddha, welcoming to you to a live Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, and our head mechanic is rounding the corner in his freshly starched and ironed television producer vest. Good evening, Faye. You're looking rather smart this evening. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well. I'm well indeed. And thank you for listening to my shows.
Well, you know, there's a buzz out there in the Pride 48 community about this fabulous video that you put together.
Oh, yes.
That was released into the wild this past week, and you did a really nice job on it. So
thanks
for taking care of that for us.
It was my pleasure. For those of you who might not know what we're talking about, if you go to pride48.com, which you should actually do, come over to pride48.com, click on chat along the top banner and join us in the chat room. But as Laughing Buddha says, there is a copy of the Pride 48 2012 Las Vegas video on the front page of pride48.com. You can go and have a look at it. And thank you. Thank you for the kind comments.
You're welcome.
You know, that was not just me. I don't want to take all the credit for that. That was the brainchild of Adam Burns. You know, it was his idea to record all of these snippets from people at Pride 48. And I just tossed it all together.
Tossing the salad, were you?
Exactly. So I'm glad you're enjoying it. Hello everybody, welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, and thank you Laughing Buddha for the introduction once again. Laughing Buddha is the co-host emeritus here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. So how have you been, Laughing Buddha?
I've been pretty good. This week was kind of winding down, but we've got some real hot issues that are happening at the radio station this weekend. Mm. All of our weekend programming is changing, and well, you know, people don't like change.
Uh-oh.
So they usually pick up the phone and they get to talk to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
change.
right. So let's introduce a couple of the other guests we have with us tonight. Now, someone who's extremely excited, not necessarily to be here, but George in Atlanta has had a very interesting week. Good evening, George.
Rise up.
Now, you've been all over the Twitters about your football game, your big football game. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what happened there, who was playing, and what went on?
Yeah, I'll try and keep the sports ball to a minimum, because I know no one really cares. But here in the Americas, we have this game called football, not to be confused with football in Europe or other places around the globe. This is American football. So, yeah, we're in the playoffs, and the Atlanta Falcons team...
You mean real football, don't you? Come on.
No, I'm not prepared to say that, because there's far too many soccer hooligans out there would kick the shit out of my ass. And we play with pads, so that's all I'm saying. Yeah, we're in football playoff season, and the Falcons have had another good year after, you know, a history of just being an awful team. And so we're actually in the NFC Championship. Not that anyone cares, but the NFL, the National Football League, is comprised of two conferences, the AFC and the NFC, and the winners of those two conferences go to the Super Bowl. So if we win Sunday, then we go to the Super Bowl, and an entire city will lose their damn minds.
Now, I just have to say, George, now, I have to tell you a story. Who's typing like mad? Toppy Smelly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgot to mute. I'm muting.
I thought we had a stenographer. I was like, what the
hell? No, I'm sorry. I'm muting right now. I'm muting.
That's Toppy Smelly, folks. We're going to introduce him in a minute after he finishes writing a letter. whoever he's writing an angry letter to. But George, I got to tell you now, I witnessed this football game between the Atlanta Falcons and Seattle.
Yeah, the Seahawks last week.
Right. And I have to say, I was impressed. Like, I was totally invested in this game. Now, I am not a sports ball fanatic by any means, but you know, I was at work when this occurred, so. And you know I work for a fire department, and you have to understand that, of course, football for a bunch of guys who work for the fire department is like, it's a big deal, right?
Absolutely.
So all of my men at the fire department were completely tuned into this bloody football game, so I couldn't not watch it. I was basically forced to participate. But I have to say, what an amazing game. You know, we were watching this football game, and it looked like Atlanta had it in a bag. They were going strong early. They got a bunch of points at the front end, and everyone was thinking, oh, Seattle is done for. Forget about it. They're never going to win this game. And I actually switched off the game and then came back to it in the last 15 minutes of the game when all of a sudden Seattle was ahead, and it was seriously stressful situation. Like, that was an amazing bunch of playing that occurred.
Yeah, what the average observer may not know is that Atlanta has long been a team that has just sucked, to be honest with you. Much like New Orleans Saints until their sort of recent rise. But we've been to the playoffs. This would be our fourth time in 5 years. So the three previous times we were booted out of the playoffs because we lost the opening game, one and you're done kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But so we have to hear sports casters and experts and journalists and nut job fans beat us about the head and shoulders all year long that it doesn't matter what you win in the regular season, you can never win a playoff game. And so here we are with 35 seconds left on the clock. We're down by 1 point. Mm-hmm. And on the line is having to listen to everybody again say you can't win the big game. So, you know, although we've done this before where we've come from behind with less than a minute left, I didn't expect it. So when it happened, I think like everybody else in the Georgia Dome, it went nuts. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was really amazing. For those people who probably the people who are listening to us right now didn't watch this game, but I thought it was absolutely done for. Of course, I don't understand football all that well, but I didn't think that the Falcons would be able to come back and win. What did they win by? Was it 1 point or two or something?
Won by two. Yeah, after the kickoff, we got the ball in the 20, and then we made two. Matt Ryan threw two passes, which got us to 30 of the opposing team, which meant we were about 40 yards away from the goalpost. And by the time you placed the ball on, it was like a 49-yard field goal, which is worth 3 points. So we won by two. Right. And yeah, crazy.
So the short story was you were looking at a loss. At, you know, what was this 20? Was it 20-21 or something?
28-27.
28-27, the Falcons were down by 1 point, 35 seconds left in the game, and the Falcons essentially in the last 35 seconds of the game got 3 points by kicking a field goal, and it was crazy, absolutely crazy, and they won the game. It was spectacular. Yep. It was an absolutely spectacular game, so kudos to you and your Falcons.
I will pass the word. you have fans all across the globe. Yeah, I'm actually going to Sunday's game in the Georgia Dome, so I'm sure I will not be able to talk 3 days after. But
I just want to stop the show here, and I just want to say, George, that you suit the Pink Wheel Nuts philosophy perfectly. And you want to know why, George?
I'm afraid to ask.
This is the whole thing. This is the paradox by which I live, and the whole the philosophy of the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast or the Pink Wheel Nuts life is that we here at the Pink we here at the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage we are gay men, but manly in some way. And George, you are the manliest gay man that I know, because
this whole you need friends.
Well, it's just okay. That, you know, this football thing, here you have this you know, I just have to say, you know, it's a treat for me to have you on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, because I feel you are a kindred spirit.
Well, Pink and Garage tells me everything that you're achieving, and I'm glad I can be a big old sissy and love football and then be appreciated for it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Although it does make me feel kind of weird right now.
Well, now, speaking of the man, now you are the manliest man we have on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. And that is the voice of Eric from Hello Again, It's Brenda Boo. Hello, Eric.
Well, hello. How are you?
How are you tonight?
You know, I'm wonderful. I'm actually speaking to you from the radio station that I work at. So my lovely bride is on text, or she's on the chat room. But yes. You're hearing me from inside my job.
Eric is such a dedicated participant of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage that he hasn't even bothered to leave work yet. And he's here connected in with us on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. So thank you very much, Eric.
You know, I enjoy it too. And again, I hope that this gives me some sort of pass, because I'm half of what the philosophy is.
That's great. You know, we love manly men. I just, you know, so you're a hot commodity around the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. I'll just let you know.
We're also very dedicated to diversity on this show.
Thank exactly. You. Very true. Very true. And let me introduce the final guest with us here tonight in the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, typer extraordinaire, or typist extraordinaire. We have joining us Toppy Smelly. Hello, Toppy.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, hi. Hi, Faye. Hi, Mark. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Toppy.
Hi, Toppy. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
That's good. So now, you know, one of the traditions we have here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage is going around the room and asking everybody what they might be drinking. I'm sure Eric has not had an opportunity to acquire a beverage, possibly, but we'll find out in a minute. I'm going to start tonight. I'm having a Caesar again. I had one a couple of shows ago. I'm having yet another one because I don't want to let my Clamato sit for too long. You know, it kind of scares me, that Clamato juice and how quickly it goes bad. So I'm trying to finish off my Clamato. So I am having once again a Caesar, which is like a Bloody Mary for those who know. It's Clamato juice and vodka and some spices and stuff. Laughing Buddha, are you having any beverages tonight on this fine Friday?
Why, yes, I am. I'm having my tried and true, staid and wonderful friend, a Silver Bullet Martini, dirty with garlic stuffed olives and cocktail onions.
Oh, lovely cocktail onions. I was wishing for cocktail onions about a week ago, actually.
Well, they're wonderful additions to cocktails, and basically it also helps you get your vegetables.
Precisely. Especially when the only thing you have is dirty martinis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least that's how it is around here. George, are you having anything to drink tonight?
I am, but first I'd like to ask, isn't a potato a vegetable?
Oh, exactly. Precisely. Sure.
That's right. Yeah. I am having a vodka tonic.
Oh, good for you.
It's another not very fantastic exciting
drink.
Yeah,
you know, I used to call them nuclear reactions, because when you're in the bar, you know, when they have the black lights out, tonic water is photofluorescent or something, and they glow in the dark, and they look like a nuclear reaction. So
that's absolutely right. Yeah, that is cool.
And what about you, Toppy? What are you having tonight?
I am mimicking a George.
with the very same drink.
Yay!
We all very cohesive tonight. Eric, have you been able to muster up anything to drink at the office there?
Due to my proximity and because I haven't had a whole lot to eat, I am choosing the crisp and clean and no caffeine flavor of 7-Up.
Very good.
I so thought he was going to say Fresca.
You know, if we had Fresca, I would pick it. I like Fresca, but we don't have Fresca. It's just 7-Up. Sorry. To disappoint.
Well, now we're going to do a little bit of a different start to the show tonight here on the Pink Wheelettes Garage. First of all, I just want to say hello to those people who are in the chat room. We do have Brenda Boo. Good evening, Brenda. Crone is in the chat room, Crone Haven. And George is here, Laughing Buddha. We have a Mib in the room as well. Moose joins us, who I believe is Moose P. I see Eric has logged in. We have RT Cruiser, who's joining us from Australia. And from the other end of the Australian continent, we have Scotty, the little Aussie Battler, is here. And Toppy Smelly's logged in there as well. So hello to everybody who is with us in the chat room tonight. So now, listen, we have a lot to talk about. I got a whole bunch of things to tell you guys about. We're going to talk about me having an altercation with a tire store proprietor where we almost got to fisticuffs. You'll have to hang in to find out about that. We're going to talk about whether you should take your car to a dealer or to a non-dealer service center, like a mechanic or a cheaper place. We're also going to talk about my problems, all the problems I've been having. I've been having problems with the spy car. I've been having problems with the Deliverator, the little sports car, and I've been working on the pickup truck. We've got so much going on around the garage tonight. But before we get to all that stuff, I'm going to attack my guests who are with me on the call tonight with a little impromptu 80s television quiz.
Is everybody ready? God.
Yeah, yes. Here we go. I don't have any. It's too bad I don't have some kind of open music. If I was a fantastic editor like Toppy, I might toss in a little bit of who knows what in here.
Yeah, but it's all in the post production, Ange.
Exactly.
We could sing around to the Golden Girls for you if you'd like.
Oh, sure. Well, let's do that at the end of the show. How about that? I'll just pop it in right here.
You know, the beauty is I'm at a radio station.
Oh, perfect. Okay, Eric, take it away.
Straight from the 80s, the theme from The Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's, anyway.
Thank you very much,
oh,
Eric.
Oh, Jell-O.
All right. Pops. All right, boys. So I'm going to hit you with a couple of questions. They're all going to center around one particular show. And those of you who are in the chat room, you can play along as well. If you think you know the answer, go ahead and toss it into the chat room. We'll try to deal with the 7-second delay. So I'll start with one guest each will need to answer a question. And just to give you, if I hear anybody Googling, if I hear any typewriting going there, people, you're going to be disqualified. So,
me giving my phone number to the chat room to text me answers would be cheating.
It would be cheating, yes.
Pretty much.
So, our topic tonight on the impromptu 80s television quiz is, that's my little drum roll, Heart to Heart.
Oh, I'm screwed.
Oh, I'm so
fucked. No, really?
All right, everybody. I might be able to hang in there.
Okay. All right. Here we go. So, Heart to Heart was a television show which was a husband and wife team who were ridiculously rich, and they just went around solving crimes that occurred because I guess they had nothing better to do. So, here are the questions. My first, I will turn to Toppy Smelly.
Mel.
No, you know what? This is an easy question.
If it's an easy one, give it to me. I'll give it to you.
Okay, George. Here you go, George.
Yeah.
What were the first names of Mr. and Mrs. Hart?
Oh, shit. Their real names or their stage names?
No, just their stage names on the show.
Yeah, I'm screwed. All right. Sorry. That's your topic.
No, that's not an easy question.
No, I knew their real names, Robert and Natalie, but I did not know.
Oh, no. That's not correct. Robert is married to Natalie. Okay, what do you know about the star and Mr. and Mrs. Hart? Tell us what you know, George.
Well, he may have killed her.
oh my God!
Does that help?
yeah. So, what do you think his real name was?
Oh, I don't know. John.
I know.
John and Mary Hart. I got nothing.
Okay, Toppy.
Oh, it's Robert Wagner.
Very good, Toppy.
And I know who Mrs. Hart was.
Yes.
Thank you, Mark.
That's the right answer, buzzer.
That was lovely. And then Stephanie Powers played his wife.
I thought you were asking for show names. I knew his name was Robert Wagner.
I was asking for show names, but I was giving you an in there, George. Come on. Okay, and who was the Natalie that George referred to in reference to Robert Wagner? Anybody?
Well. I know.
Okay, yes, go ahead.
I don't know. Mr. Boo, do you want to get in there?
I have no idea.
It's Natalie Wood because
yes,
they were once married and she floats. Well, she didn't float.
She died and there's questions as to whether or not he killed her and drowned her.
Exactly. Yeah. But since nobody has yet been able to answer the question that I asked, which was not what their real names were, what were their names on the show, no one in the chat room has even answered the question either.
Oh, come on, chat room.
What's going on?
Jonathan Hart.
Peter.
Yes, and?
Jonathan and, like, Jennifer or something like that.
Very good. See, Eric, you do. Oh. Eric gets the point for that one. It wasn't even his question.
I did not know that. I did not remember their stage names.
Mr. Powerbottom said Mr. and Mrs.
Mr. Powerbottom.
Okay, well, this is going well. Is everybody ready for the second question?
No.
This is going well, that's the word.
Yeah, just a reminder, kids, the first one was the easy one.
There's only four questions, guys. We got to get through this. Okay, second question. Anybody can answer this. What was the name of the Hart's dog?
Oh, fuck.
I don't think that was his name.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was Bosley, wasn't it?
Bosley? No. That's Charlie's
Angels.
That's
the Angels. The dog's name was Freeway.
Oh. Yeah, I wonder if he had stripes.
No, wasn't it like within the first couple episodes they discovered him and he was like on some road or something?
Yeah, he was on the freeway. They picked him up from the side of the freeway.
Ugh.
Oh my!
My mom watched this show all the time. I remember. Oh, Heart-a-thon. That and Falcon Crest. Oh.
Okay, so question number three. Come on, we got to get through this, boys. Just bear with me. What was? You know, now Max was the butler, right?
Yeah.
What was Max's real name
in real life?
Can I phone a friend?
You can phone a friend. Anybody can Google this. You know what? I don't even know the answers to these questions. I was hoping somebody would know because this is what I want to know. So does anybody know?
Max. I'm looking it up now.
Very good. Lionel Gooding Jr. is offered in the chat room, but that's not correct.
I'm calling Romo. Hold on.
Okay.
You could hear a ring. That's good.
Do, 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 do.
Black Scotty. Do, do, do. The driver was not a black man, Scotty. I'm sorry.
Hey, George.
Hey, Romo. I'm on Would You Like to Fuck a Millionaire, and I need some help with a question. What's the question again? Hold on, Romo.
What was Max's real name on Heart to Heart?
Okay, on Heart to Heart, what was Max's real name? You know, Heart to Heart, the 80s show.
Yeah.
Who was Max again?
He was the butler.
His real character name?
Yeah, he was the butler.
He was the chauffeur. The chauffeur.
Sorry, he was okay, the chauffeur.
I don't know.
Okay, you're a lot of help. See ya. Thanks. Bye. Bastard.
Well, I guess we'll never know.
Tune in next week when we bring you the answers to Faye's 80s television quiz, Heart to Heart. So what's the fourth question there, Faye?
Well, the fourth question was, I was certain that Max, Cronhaven suggests Leo. Oh, Lionel Stander. Thank you, Scotty Battler. Lionel Stander was the butler's real name. And I was certain that he was a famous, a famous actor in some other country before he came to the United States. So if anybody can tell me what he did that made him famous before he got on Heart to Heart, then you too will win a prize.
No idea.
Did he push Natalie off the boat?
If he was if he's a foreigner, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I think he was famous in
downstairs
Czechoslovakia or something. Like he was a vaudeville actor back in who knows when.
Sorry.
Anyway, okay. Well, that's my that's and so brings Eric. Are you ready with your music? So brings to a close the Faye's impromptu 80s. TV show quiz.
This is my boss, Jonathan Hart, a self-made millionaire.
Wow.
He's quite a guy. This is Mrs. H. She's gorgeous. She's one lady who knows how to take care of herself. By the way, my name is Max. I take care of both of them, which ain't easy. Because when they met, it was murder.
Thank you, Eric. There you go, the opening to Heart to Heart.
Eric nailed it. Thank you, Mr. Boo.
Yeah, now I kind of remember the show.
And Haunt Cub joined us in the chat room, and he says that Lionel Stander was famous from Portugal. So I'm going to, I guess I'll just have to Google it. I guess my listeners and my panel on the show are no use to me today. 80s television.
We are the weakest link.
Thanks, guys. Well, I hope that was fun. Let's move on. And I want to do a little bit of follow-up with a show from a couple of weeks ago where we were talking about headlights and headlight bulbs. And Ranger John happened to be on the show with that we were talking about headlight bulbs on. And he emailed me about a week ago or so to say that he actually ended up having two of his headlight bulbs burn out on him. So he took his car into a mechanic. He didn't go to the dealer. He went to his local corner gas station shop, I guess. And the gentleman told him that John was concerned that possibly his lights burnt out both at the same time. And his mechanic told him that likely his lights did not burn out at the same time, that one of them probably burned out a long time ago and he just didn't realize it. And then the second one burned out, and then because he had no lights, he finally noticed that his lights were burnt out. So he took it into his mechanic. The mechanic changed the bulbs. Everything's working fine. Tickety-boo. And he's back in action with two new headlight bulbs. So
wonderful.
So there you go. All right. So now I have a bunch of things to talk about. I want to talk, the discussion tonight, I'd like us to center around whether you should get your vehicle serviced at a dealer or at a mechanic shop. And this question comes to us from Scotty, the little Aussie battler. And I'm just going to read the letter that Scotty sent to me. And that it goes as follows. When servicing your car, should you go to the dealer or is it okay to use your local servo, local garage? Or to use a scoupon deal. I believe he may be referring to Groupon or some sort of a coupon situation. And then a secondary question, a follow-up question is, should you use genuine or non-genuine parts? So I'm going to throw this out to the room. Does anybody want to pick this up and make any recommendations on this?
Well, I just want to say when I replaced the headlight in my Buick a few weeks ago, I opted not to go with the Sylvania brand of headlamp. I basically chose the store brand, which was about a buck and a half cheaper, and it seems to be working fine. So I think it really kind of depends on what part it is. For me, it's like there's not a lot of difference in a headlamp. Right. But, you know, if it's, you know, something like a rotor for brakes or something of that nature, you might want to go with the manufacturer's suggested replacement part for that. So that's just my thought on the matter.
Mm-hmm. You know, RT Cruiser on the chat room did a very good comment. He said he uses the dealer when the car is under warranty, but the local mechanic after that. And I would tend to agree. You know, if it is going to be a warranty issue, then, you know, I would trust then only the dealer. But if you have a reliable mechanic, you know, especially here in America, if we're dealing with American cars, I mean, if it was a German or European, then I might suggest maybe you'd be better off instead of going to the mom and pop mechanic shop, going to the dealer, because they may have a better understanding of the European model or whatever Ford model that you had at the time. But I think RT brings a good point.
Mm-hmm. George or Toppy, any comments?
Yeah, not so much. I know nothing about car repair, so it would need to be. You know, I do have a tangentially related question. I'm thinking about buying a new car, but it's not going to be immediately, but probably in the next 3 to 4 months. And I'm annoyed because there are very few car dealers inside the city proper. You have to sort of go to the outer limits, you know, a 20, 30 minute drive. And that annoys me because I know I'm going to have to take the car back to that location for a service. Right. Mm-hmm. So my inclination is always keep with, like RT, as Mr. Boo mentioned, stick with the, you know, where the warranty is until such time that it's not under warranty. But yeah, but it's annoying when you don't want to drive to the outer limits.
Mm-hmm. And as far as parts go, I mean, our mechanic, Brenda's and my mechanic, just happens to be our neighbor across the street, Abby. She's a wonderful gal. And she'll tell you that, you know, she doesn't care. It, you know, there's really not that much difference anymore between aftermarket or, you know, certified original parts. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and it seems to be the case for what we've needed parts for. So, right. If you want to buy, you know, strictly original manufacturer's parts, yeah, go ahead, whatever. Yeah, I think at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with everything everyone has said for the most part. And I would like to tell a story that relates directly to my own vehicle. And this is going to be a story that sort of supports going to the dealer, although I must say, deep in my heart, I am opposed to going to a dealer because I don't think you get any better service from the dealer than you would from a home shop mechanic or, you know, a small business mechanic. I think any mechanic can resolve most problems, but when it comes to, it depends on the problem, though. Some certain problems, I think you want the manufacturer to deal with your situation for complicated type things because they, I believe they have the experience working with your vehicle. Plus, you know, the dealer that will know your car better because they get education and they get all the memos and the TSBs, and then they get all the inside information on what the common problems are with the vehicles that they sell. So in one sense, I'm in favor of the dealer. In the other sense, I think they really rip you off, the dealer. The dealer can, you can get a bad deal going to a dealer. So let me explain the situation that I've encountered recently. Now, I have this BMW, right? It's a pretty high-tech car. It's extremely well designed. They put a lot of effort into this car. The thing has, you know, not less than 7 computers in it for all of the various options that it has and stuff like that. So, I believe that I've screwed myself over by not taking my car to the dealer, and I'll tell you what the situation is. Right now, I'm dealing with a battery, an electrical situation, and I've been dealing with this for the last 6 months thereabouts. Because what a year ago, I bought a battery for my car to replace the original battery that came with it. Now the battery in this car is kind of large. It's like almost like a semi truck battery. It's bigger than your standard car battery by like 0.5. It's like 1.5 times bigger than a regular battery. It's a 900 milliamp battery, if that means anything to anybody. And so I took that battery out and I put a cheap battery that I bought from a parts store into the car. And it worked for about a year, and then the battery got fried for some reason. And subsequently, I had to replace the alternator in the BMW. Now, I'm not saying that any of these things are related in any way, but I'm just pointing out that I've had electrical problems with this car since I put that battery in, all right, the cheap battery. Now, BMW says that when you replace the battery in this car, you need to bring it into the BMW shop so that they can tell the car that you have a new battery. Now, does anybody else say to themselves, are you crazy? That sounds bizarre. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, as you know, in the modern world, when they've got chips and everything like that, I hate to say this, but they probably are right. They probably do have to tell it that.
And indeed they do. Now, I've done considerable research on this situation. And in fact, the car, because the car being so totally electronified, to coin a phrase, the charging system, it's not like the old charging system you have in your 68 Chevelle, right? In your Chevelle, if the battery's low, the regulator says, hey, let's send some electricity to the battery. It asks the alternator to provide a charge, and it sends the charge to the battery, right? Well, that's not how this car works, of course. This car has some sort of complicated software algorithm that knows that if your battery is 5 years old, it's going to need more electricity sent to it than if it is a year old, right? So apparently, you do need to tell the battery or tell the car you have a new battery, because what happened in my case, I pulled the old battery out, I put a new cheap battery in, it said, oh, this is an old battery. It thinks the battery is still 5 years old, so it's overcharging the battery, and it wrecked one of the cells in my battery, the brand new battery that I bought, right? So, and then I think subsequently, because the charging system was trying to, the alternator was trying to charge my bad battery that it destroyed, that the alternator was working so hard that it killed the alternator. Well, now this ended up costing me about $900. Okay, now, and that's I understand that's a lot of money to pay for an alternator and a battery, but that's the way it is with BMW. I accept that. I recognize these cars are going to cost me more than the average car. I'm not complaining about the price. Not really. But that's a significant amount of money, right? $900 for a battery and an alternator. If I had just gone to the dealer in the first place. Now, the dealer who says, we need to tell your battery, your car, that you have a new battery, it's $75 or $100 for them to do this little programming thing.
Yeah, so you can't just stand outside the car and say, hey, car, I got a new battery.
Exactly. No, I can't. So I do have to take it to the dealer. And I'm kind of going, well, now, hindsight being 2020, I should have gone to the dealer a year ago and just paid the fucking $100. And I could probably would have saved myself $800, right?
Yeah, but it is does make you wonder if they designed this wonderful computerized system to be able to determine the strength of a battery, that it would have some sort of default switch so that when you put a new battery in, it would automatically go, oh, hey, there's a new battery in there. I mean, that's just me saying.
Yeah. Well, one would hope, but you know, I've come to realize that that's not the way it is.
You know, I feel for you. That sucked.
Yeah.
Did you ask that question specifically? Like, what happens if I put a battery in and don't bring it here? It's not going to automatically recognize it?
Yeah, I did ask that. And I've looked on forums and, you know, consulted the BMW repair, you know, on the internet, that kind of thing. And everything points to the fact that, yes, it's a valid thing. You do need to tell the car that you have a new battery because it you know, this car, and I can understand why, because this car is very power intensive. There's so many options on it. It's loaded with every gizmo and gadget you can think of. So I'm not surprised that, you know, the charging system is quite elaborate. So, yeah, I believe that it's true. And I have an appointment next week to take my car in to pay somebody, you know, $100 to tell my car that I have a new battery.
Yeah, I feel that is strictly, you know, a BMW or German-made car, because there's not an American car that I can think of, or even a Japanese car, that has that same function that I've ever read about or heard about. But maybe it exists, and I just haven't seen it. But do you think it's strictly like a German or the BMW thing?
Well, this is the thing. Possibly. I mean, I can see them doing that. You know, the thing about these bloody BMWs is they're so tight-lipped about everything. They don't tell you. I mean, if they would have said, even in the operating manual, when you change your battery, make sure you bring it to the shop, I might have believed them, but they don't tell you anything. Everything's a big secret. Like, you can't fix anything on this car, and they do that, I think, because BMW wants you to be beholden to them. They want you to bring your car in whenever the slightest little thing goes wrong, so that you pay them, you know, $175 an hour to fix your car. So
you will bring the car into us to fix, yes.
Precisely, yeah. So, so what do you do?
You know, Honda does something similar in that if for a lot of the mechanical problems that we have, if it's not, you know, on the surface like a battery, if it's something that's a little beyond that, you have to take it into the Honda dealer because they got to plug it into the computer. Mm-hmm. And do the diagnostics. I haven't had that problem for some of the other vehicles that we've had, even ones that had computer chips. But with the Honda, from what I've read, it's, you know, you got to take it to the Honda dealer. So
yeah, I think you need, you know, for me, I'm a car enthusiast. I'm really, I mean, I would like to be able to work on my cars, but I recognize I just don't have the skills because it's extremely technical. Even if you have, like you say, a Honda today in this day and age, they're still extremely technical in nature and you can't always fix everything. So we're sort of at the dealer's mercy, I think.
Yeah.
So if you do have a new vehicle or a newer vehicle in this day and age, I think you should take it to the dealer. I think you should consider taking it to the dealer, except for those situations like the typical oil, and like anybody can do an oil change, I think. except not everybody may know how to reset your car's computer to tell you, you know, sometimes they remind you, it's time for you to get an oil change, your car, you know, bing, 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 4,000 miles to your next oil change, that kind of a thing. You know, failing that kind of stuff, I think anybody can do an oil change or rotate your tires or, you know, change a water pump or anything like that. But some of this stuff is getting much more technical. Like, take for instance, if your check engine light comes on, well, no one in the world is going to know why your check engine light comes on if your car's not acting oddly, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So you're sort of at the dealer's mercy there, because only the dealer is going to know what the check engine light means, especially if your car's not doing anything weird, right?
I open the hood, I check. Yeah, there's the engine. Okay, thank you.
Right.
It says check engine. It didn't say, hey, there's check engine. Hey, thanks. Just want to make sure it was there.
Yeah, Eric is from my school of car maintenance.
Right.
Ed, thank you for joining us. Ding, ding.
Yes, that's just Mr. Anderson saying, when's my dinner getting me ready?
Isn't love grand?
It's grand. Okay, well, so that's that. So I would say, people, yes. You know, go to the dealer for the more complicated work, and go to your Jiffy Lube for the simple stuff. But I have a Jiffy Lube story as well.
No.
Hello, Pink Whale Nuts Garage.